Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6:25? I just felt to do that at the beginning of the message. Matthew 6:25, and I love this. I'm reading from the New King James Version tonight. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today he is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I love this scripture. The spirit of the world is a world of worry and anxiety and stress. And you know, I love this scripture. See, it's easy for God to add things to us. If God spoke the world into creation, he can provide for your kids' school fees. If God spoke the sun and moon and the stars into existence with one spoken word, he can provide you with a job, or he can bring a breakthrough in your business. If God spoke and created the night and the day and all the animals in the field, if God spoke those into existence, I think he can provide you with a home to purchase or healing in your body. But what's hard for God to find is a generation that will seek him first. And when I find when people in church start seeking God first, it's amazing how he begins to add multiple things, blessings and things into their lives. And like I shared this morning, fear has been an overriding emotion during dominating our nation and the world in politics, in the workplace, in the economy, in education. Fear and the language of fear is impacting every part of our lives. Fear of COVID, fear of the economy, fear of safety, fear for your finances, fear over the climate, fear, fear, fear. The facts are real, but let's take proper precautions. Let's live wisely. The facts are real, but let's not live in fear. For our God is big, our God is strong, our God is mighty. We are the people of God. We need to live in faith. Fear leads to worry. Worry leads to anxiety, and anxiety leads to inertia. Your life comes to a standstill. I shared this scripture this morning. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Graham was sharing about his grandfather before. My grandparents were Dutch. They lived in Holland. I called them my oma and my opa, if you come from that kind of family lineage. And she died many years back at 95 years of age. She immigrated to Australia in 1956 from the Netherlands. And I remember when she got a little bit older, she more opened up about the years during World War II and the time under German occupation. I remember one night she spoke to me about the great fear that gripped the nation when the German army and began to attack the nation, when they invaded Holland. And she remembers the night, the fear when the Nazis came in the middle of the night and rounded up all their Jewish neighbors and took them away. She said the great fear that came upon her as a mother of four children, and her husband was arrested by the Gestapo because they thought he was part of the Dutch underground, and he was put into a concentration camp. And she thought, how will I survive? How will I live? And then about a month later, after much prayer, two German officers said, we're going to live in the top story of a three-story house which she lived in. And they smuggled bread and milk and food for her family. You see, she said, I had so much fear, but all I could go to and all I could count upon was my faith in God. You see, faith will always overcome fear. We could turn the lights out in this place tonight and it would be black, and you can light one small match and one small piece of light will always overcome a room of darkness. And I want to encourage you, the devil has a strategy for all of us, and it's to bring fear into your life. It's the opposite of faith, because the devil's strategy is to place that little seed of fear inside of you, a spirit of fear inside your heart and mind that would cripple you for the now, paralyze you for the future, and cripple you for the now. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Fear is the opposite of faith. And fear is the devil's strategy to hold you back from living in the fullness of God's promises for your life. And I'm telling you, there's a spirit of faith coming upon this church. We're clothing this church community in faith here at Impact because God wants us to be people of faith, not of fear. Number one is this, we got to overcome the fear of man. Many times as Christians, we don't take steps of faith or we're not obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit because of the fear of man. We value other people's opinions above God's word and what he's saying to us. We value our own pride. What happens if nothing happens and I step out above what will people think of me if I do that, Lord? We put the fear of man over the voice and the promptings of God in our life, in our family, in our workplace, on the university campus, on social media. Sometimes we won't speak about what we believe in because we have fear of what other people may say and think. And I remember one time, my first ever big conference I got to speak at. I was so excited to speak at this conference and I was praying and fasting for it. It was thousands of people and it was a youth conference. And I remember in the morning in the shower, the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge and said, make sure you say this before you preach today. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to say that. They're never going to invite me back again. And then I got into the worship and I was worshiping before I was about to preach on that first morning of the conference. And the Holy Spirit said, before you get up on this preach this morning, you need to give that word of knowledge. I said, Lord, I'm not going to say that. All the pastors here are going to think I'm some kind of crazy person, a space cadet. And then as they're introducing me to preach on stage, the Holy Spirit says, you say that word of knowledge or don't say anything at all. So I got up and said, hey, before I preach today, the Lord spoke to me, put something on my heart. There's a girl here today and you're of Nigerian descent. In fact, you're a teenager, you've got three brothers, and before you came to this conference, you were praying with your mum in the kitchen because your dad went back to Nigeria and he's been missing and you haven't heard from him for 3 weeks. But the Lord says, don't fear, he's okay. He's had an accident, but he's okay and he's going to be fine and you're going to hear about him soon. And I said, if that's you, would you come to the front? We're going to pray for you. Tumbleweeds went across the altar and nothing happened. 30 seconds, and then the voice of fear. How stupid are you? Why would you say something like that in front of thousands of people and all these incredible preachers, and you'd say something stupid like that? And it's amazing. I preached my message. It was a 35-minute message in about 15 minutes, and fear, the fear of man began to grip me. And I remember I didn't want to go to the green room mixed with the pastors. I was just talking to people, and it was a four-night conference, 4 days and four nights, and I was getting depressed and discouraged. I think I'm just such a stupid person. Why would I say something like that? Why would I be obedient and do something dumb like that? And then on the last night, we had a move of God, and I'm sitting at the altar, and I'm about to get my youth group and go back to our church, and this Nigerian teenager comes up to me. Oh, Pastor Paul, thank you for your word of prophecy 4 days ago. That was me, but I was too embarrassed to come to the front. And you know what was awesome? My dad emailed us that night and he's okay, got hit by a car, he's been in an accident, but he's okay, we don't need to fear. Thank you for your word. I said, that's fantastic. But you could have told me on the first night. Been living in depression for 3 whole days. The fear of man, it cripples us. It paralyzes us. But God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. The devil wants to put fear in your life, in your thoughts and in your heart to cripple your destiny. Second thing is fear in your finances. I reckon this cripples many Christians. Worried about the job cuts at work, worried about what's going to happen in the economy and interest rates, challenges in your business, unpaid accounts, the tax man's after you, provision, where will it come from, mounting household bills for the car, for the home, for the school, for the uni fees. And you know what? Fear can grip our hearts and we can think there's not enough. But you know what? Remember, this: the power of tithing is the 10% redeems the other 90%. And sometimes it's all a matter of relativity. Because I remember as a teenager in the 1980s, my parents, they were running a family business. And I remember the interest rates on their home was 18%. And the overdraft for the business, the interest rate was 25%. And I remember my dad going back to school teaching so the business could keep running. My mum ran the business and they were practically doing all these things. But guess what? They had a spirit of faith, not of fear. And they came through that season. Psalm 37 verse 25 says this, I have been young and now I am old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Graham was talking about his granddad, sowing seed in all seasons. I'm telling you, we can make sure we can make wise decisions, but we can't live in our finances with a spirit of fear. We can't live in a spirit of poverty. We've got to live in a spirit of abundance. Our God shall supply all of our needs according to your riches. No, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's got all the resources available that we need. You know the scripture, Malachi 3:10. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Trust me in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there'll be not enough room for you to receive it. I love it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that you'll not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for those in the field, says the Lord of hosts. You know, my dad got saved when he was 34, and I was 5 years of age. And I didn't realize this, but my dad struggled with tithing his whole Christian life. Until in his late 50s, he had a work accident and he couldn't work. And he was on workers' compo. And he did a back injury. And for 9 months, he was on the floor in our lounge room and he couldn't move. And so my dad said, well, I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover because I need healing. For the first time, he thought, I'm going to read the whole Bible. And you know what? God never spoke to him about healing. You know what God spoke to him about when he was on the floor there? Tithing. And generosity. And there's like, he couldn't believe. He's like, God, I'm looking for a miracle. And my dad had a business at the time. He had he just built a new house. My two brothers were at university. He was struggling to pay all the bills. He think, I'm going to lose my house. I'm not going to be able to pay for my son to be at university and my brother to do year 12. And fear began to grip his life. And so for the first time in my dad's life, what he would do would pay all the bills. And if there was anything left over, then he'd give an offering to the house of God. For the first time in his life, in his late 50s, he started regularly tithing. And his health began to improve. And then WorkCover came to him and said, we're going to retrain you in new business. We're going to try you selling real estate. My dad was in his 50s and he lives in a country town. No one's going to buy property in a country town unless you've got grey hair or no hair. They're not going to buy any property for young buck. And so WorkCover got this real estate agent. He said, look, let's have a goal that Ben would sell, that's my dad's name, one property a month or one farm a month. My dad sold 4 farms in the first month. But he was on WorkCover. They couldn't pay him. You know, real estate's all about commission. And then the second month, he sold 8 properties. And the third month, he sold 12 properties. And the boss came to him and said, he's not a Christian. He goes, Ben, I'm not allowed to pay you because you're on WorkCover for the next 6 months. So can I do something for you? How much is it costing to send your son to university, La Trobe University? My dad told him an amount. He wrote him a check, paid him directly, $25,000. Then the next month, he said to my dad, he said, I noticed you're driving a pretty rubbish car. He said, we can't pay you any bonuses because you're on WorkCover, but come down to the Mitsubishi dealership. They bought him a brand new car, work car. And they just started blessing him and blessing him, blessing him. I'm telling you, from my dad from 55 years of age to 67 when he retired, financially abundant, blessed beyond measure in so many ways. But fear will think you've got enough, not got enough. But faith says, no, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. The 10% redeems the 90%. I'm telling you today, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And when you have fear in your finances, it'll cripple your life. We've got to overcome it. Third thing is this, fear for the future. Well, my mother had breast cancer. I'm going to get cancer. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That's a spirit of fear. Marriage. Well, my parents got divorced. Well, then I'm never going to get married because I'm going to get divorced. That's a language of fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you power, love, and sound judgment. Well, safety. Well, I'm never going to travel again overseas because of COVID. I'm never going to see my families again. No, come on. That's a spirit of fear. Fear for our children's future and education, employment, or even the environment or peace in the world. We've got fear that grips our life because fear will bring restriction and faith will bring expansion. The devil wants to destroy your life. Fear restricts, fear paralyzes, faith expands, and faith allows us to dream and have hope for the future. God did not give us, the church, a spirit of fear, but he gave us power, his Holy Spirit. He gave us love, which came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and he gave us wisdom and planning. Yes, the world that we live in 2022 has serious challenges. Poverty, climate problems, economic disruption, recession, wars, terrorism. But guess what? The world's always been a bad place. Just imagine living in the bubonic plague in Europe and 1 in every 3 people died in the Dark Ages. Or Spanish influenza came after World War I and 50 million people died worldwide. And one third of all Australians contracted Spanish flu. In 1999, 15,000 Australians died of Spanish influenza. In the Great Depression, 30% of Australians were unemployed. The GDP dropped alone 10% in the year 1930 in Australia. During World War II, 75 million people died. The world's always been a bad place, but God's always been a good God. Fear is the tool of the enemy to cripple your life, steal your joy, paralyze your destiny, and imprison your hopes and dreams. But we're not going to live by fear. We're going to live by faith. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We don't live with a spirit of fear. We live with a spirit of faith. Our lives are not built upon the sand. They're built upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful when people come to this church every Sunday, this is a place of faith. This is a place of encouragement. This is a place where we lift up Jesus in the midst of a culture of fear and negativity. And we say, our hope is in the Lord our God. And we can fear not because He is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Can I have an amen today? I love that. He's with us. You know, the musicians come. Many years ago in year 12, I went on a missions trip to the Philippines. And I went to the island of Mindanao, which is right down the bottom, and they're having a communist insurgency and a Muslim insurgency. And it was crazy. It was an amazing time. We went to this one church, and the town used to be 180,000, but it was down to 30,000. Because the communist insurgents come through, they killed the Catholic priests, they killed the mayor, they basically targeted all the leaders. And this church we went and preached at, I was in year 12, I was with a pastor and four others, they were the only church left in town. And it was a beautiful worship service, beautiful worship service. We preached, we saw some healings, and afterwards we had dinner with the pastor and his family. And he said, I remember as a young person asking, "Well, why are you still here?" He said, "God told us not to leave." He said, "Multiple times we've had," he worked at the Pepsi Cola factory, drive his VW through the banana fields. And many times he said, "I had communist insurgents come out with AK-47s, shoot at his Beetle. Nothing would happen. Just drove through. Hand grenades rolled in front of their front porch. Didn't go off." He said, "Finally, what happened is this communist insurgency group formed a Sparrow Squad, which was three men that took a blood oath to not eat and drink until they assassinated the pastor, his family, his wife and the two kids." He said, "One night my wife had been in prayer, season of prayer and fasting, and God woken her in the middle of the night and said, 'Hey, you need to prepare a meal.' What she didn't realize is that these three men had decided that morning at dawn they were going to storm the house and kill the family. But they'd been fasting for 2 weeks because they'd taken a blood oath. And she says, 'Why am I getting up, God, to prepare a meal?' He said, 'My husband, he's just sleeping in bed, snoring. I'm not going to give him food.' God said, 'Prepare the meal.' So she prepared some fish and some rice and Pepsi Cola because they worked at the Pepsi Cola factory. There's curfew in the village and the Lord said, 'It's about 4 a.m, go across the road and behind the hedge there's a man and offer him the meal.' She's like, 'That's crazy, God. I'm not doing that. It's dangerous out there.' She walks across the road. Here's a guy there with a machine gun, hand grenades, one of the three guys. And she says, 'The Lord's told me to give you a meal.' He was so hungry, he ate it, he cried, and she led him to Jesus. And he was the bass player playing at church on Sunday. Faith will always overcome a spirit of fear. They had a revival in that village. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous hand. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Power. Our God can do anything. He can heal the sick, bring provision, bring opportunity, open doors that man cannot open. Love overcomes, helps us to forgive. Love is a weapon for advancement in our community, and sound mind, strength and peace. Even in the middle of the storm, there can be a battle of your mind, but you can have the peace of God, which will guard your heart and mind. I'm telling you today, I feel like that God wants to break off the fear of man, the fear in finances. And some people have fear for the future. But I'm telling you, you don't need to fear, for God is with us. If you read the book of Revelation, we know what the end is. God wins. We get to go to eternity. I don't know about you, if you watched that funeral of the Queen the other night, that preacher, the Archbishop, he preached a gospel message about eternity and took the fear of death out of it and said, she's with the Lord and the glory of his angels. It was amazing. Let me read this scripture to you. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, this is how you overcome fear. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw me do, the God of peace will then be with you. You know how you overcome fear? By meditating on the things of God, not the things of this world. You know, sometimes we meditate more on Netflix or Prime than we do on the Word. It's amazing what if we think over in our mind, we feed it in, it begins to get into our spirit and into mind. But I encourage you tonight, you made a good decision. You're in the household of faith. You're in the Word. You're in His presence. Fear will always be overcome by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God wants to give you power. God wants to give you love. And God wants to give you sound judgment. I finish with this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I don't have any new teaching for you today. I don't have any new revelation. I just know that when Christians pray, things happen. I just know when Christians worship, things happen. Atmospheres change. I know that when things happen, no matter how hard the circumstances are, and you give thanksgiving and praise, things shift in the atmosphere. And I know that when Christians start reading the Word and confessing the Word, things begin to shift and things begin to happen, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week, and you can access all our podcasts videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.